and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said unto him, Lord, if he is fallen asleep, he will recover. It is written, now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he spake of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It is written, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Our God is just a prayer away.
Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world, you'll find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from John chapter 11, Lessons from Lazarus. Time will not permit to notice them all, but here are a few. Lesson number one. Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus with the information, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Beyond this, they said nothing else. They just laid the problem before the Lord, not asking for him to come and heal their brother. Maybe they thought he was too busy doing something else, or perhaps they knew it would endanger his life if he came back at that time. At any rate, they only laid the problem before him and let him do with it as he would. One of the lessons about Lazarus is that the person who is close to the Lord is not immune to troubles of the flesh. We do not know what was wrong with Lazarus. It probably was a sickness that overcame him quickly because Jesus had been in that vicinity a short time before. It may have been a stroke or a quick-growing cancer or a heart attack. Whatever it was, Lazarus was sick and sick unto death. The Christian is not exempt today. Sometimes people will tell me, what good does it do to be a Christian? The Christian gets sick like everybody else. He dies. He's not better off than the non-Christian. Well, that may be true as far as the physical is concerned. Jesus did not die for your gallbladder or for your heart attack or your healing of your cancer. The important thing is when he does come, you will be ready if you are a Christian to meet him. Jesus died for the salvation of our souls. As a Christian, we have a right to go to God in prayer for sickness. by virtue of the fact that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And, ladies and gentlemen, a very high price at that. As Peter says, we have been redeemed not with silver and with gold, but with the blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish, even the blood of Christ. Here's lesson number two. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. But for the glory of God, death is not the end. There is something after death. This is evident from the other story about the other Lazarus, the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. In this story, it stands back to back with this one. This is significant. Death did not end at all in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. They both lived after they died. Death will not end it for us either. We will be just as conscious as to where we are after we are dead as we are right now. Maybe even more so because we will not be encumbered with the weaknesses of the flesh. Jesus said that Lazarus had fallen asleep, however. The Scripture speaks of the Christian as being asleep in Jesus. But remember, it is only the body that sleeps. The soul and or spirit is just as much alive as it ever was. Paul tells us that he had a desire himself to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better. And Stephen, when he was stoned, prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Even though his body fell asleep, he himself went to be with the Lord. Paul also says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then there's also another sense in which people sometimes fall asleep. Paul warns us in Romans, it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Eternity is closer than we may think. Get into your car and drive down the road at almost any speed, and when a car comes in the opposite direction, if 3 feet is all that separates you from a head-on collision, you may be just 3 feet from being able to hear the angels sing, or from being able to hear the shouts and the cries and the moans of the damned. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Then again, when people are physically asleep, they have dreams and fantasies in the physical. And one of the biggest spiritual fantasies many have today is that on the judgment day, God will line up all the human race, and then Jesus will proclaim, Father, forgive them, let them all come in. They know not what they do. I am too good to let anyone go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the biggest fantasy a mortal can have. That fantasy may turn someday into an eternal nightmare. Now, these thoughts are not calculated necessarily to give you peace of mind. Remember, although the Lord said we are to comfort the afflicted, it is also true that we are to afflict the comfortable. So wake up. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Sometimes when a person dies, people say that, oh, the corpse looks so peaceful. Well, that's natural, whoever he is, saint or sinner. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. That smile on the corpse may belie the real state of affairs as to what has actually happened after death. Rest assured that death does not end at all for either saint or sinner. Lesson number three. Jesus abode 2 days in the place where he was. Why did he wait? Lazarus was probably dead. It took a day to come and tell him. It took a day for him to go to Bethany. He abode 2 days. Whatever the reason, we know that the Lord does not operate according to our timetable. When I declared myself for the ministry as a senior in high school many years ago, things looked bad for the world. I remember telling a friend that I hoped the Lord would not return before I had a chance to get out there and do something. I asked our preacher, how long will it be before the Lord comes back? He said, a man makes a fool of himself if he tries to say that. I was insistent. I said, give me a number. Give me a guess. He said he thought that the Lord would return, according to the way things look, at the outside in 15 years. Those 15 years have come and gone 4 times, and the Lord has not returned yet. When will it be? No one knows when the Lord will return, not even the preachers on television, who are constantly telling you when it will be. But no matter, the Lord has his own timetable. We can be sure that he will come, but he will come when he says so, and not when we say so. Lesson number 4. Jesus said, let us go into Judea again. The disciples reminded the Lord that the Jews were seeking to kill him. It would be dangerous to go at this time. Jesus knew that. He knew that if he went to raise Lazarus, it would bring him to the very brink of Calvary. But he went anyway. He was brave. So it is with us. He wanted to come into the world to help us, and he knew if he did, it would cost if he came. And yet he came anyway. He came to help us, even though it meant death on the cross for the sins of the world. Lesson number 5. Both Martha and Mary said the same thing to the Lord. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If thou hadst been here. Some have tried to unravel the ifs of history. What would have happened if Abraham Lincoln had not died? Well, the big if is what would have happened if Christ had not died. If he had not died, there would be no church. If he had not died, there would be no salvation, no heaven. We can be glad there is no if in history. Jesus did come into the world. He did die on the cross. He did arise from the dead. He did ascend to heaven. He did establish the church, and he is coming again. One of the biggest ifs of all is when people live as if Jesus had never come into this world, as if he had never died on the cross for their sins, as if there is no future life after death. People live as if there is no judgment day. They live as if there is no hell and no heaven. However, the one big if they need to consider is, what if the Bible is true? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the biggest if of all. Lesson number 6. There's a famous verse in John 11:35. It says, Jesus wept. Twice Jesus is said to have wept. Actually, 3 times, once in Hebrews 4, verse 11. But there it mentions strong crying and tears. Twice it says here that he wept. Once here at the grave of Lazarus, and again in Luke 19, verse 41, he wept over the city of Jerusalem. But 2 different Greek words are used. In John 11, there was a shedding of tears silently over the death of Lazarus. But in Luke 19, the word for wept includes sobbing, an audible sound of weeping. Twice it says that he wept, and it seems that his weeping over the guilt of lost humanity was greater than his weeping over the loss of a loved one who was prepared to die. Paul said, we sorrow not as the rest who have no hope. It is one thing to sorrow over a person who is prepared to die, and another to sorrow over one who is not prepared to die. Our sorrow over the one who is ready to go is tempered with the glorious hope of seeing that one again. How awful it must be to lose a member of the family who is not a Christian and who has no hope of eternal life. Of course, the loss of one who is unprepared is often mitigated by the idea that regardless of what one did or did not do, somehow he or she is ready. God will take care of everyone. Many are living in that area sometimes called a fool's paradise. Lesson number 7. Behold how he loved him. They were impressed when they saw that Jesus wept. It was evident that he loved Lazarus greatly. So let it be seen in us regarding our own spiritual condition. Behold how he loved us. We see it at the cradle in Bethlehem. Behold how he loved us. We see it in his temptation in all points like as we are. Behold how he loved us. We see it again as he died on the cross, tasting of death once for every man, and feeling the guilt of every sin that we have ever committed. Is there any doubt? Behold how he loved us. Look at the resurrection, and then the ascension, and the promise to come again, to take us to where he is. There's no doubt about it. Behold how he loved us. It is true for us even as it was for Lazarus. Angels must often marvel. Behold how he loved them. Lesson number 8. Some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man had not died? The answer is yes. He could have. What a comfort for us in the matter of salvation. Could not this man who saved others also save me? When I consider Saul of Tarsus, who murdered and tortured Christians, tore down churches and tried to stamp out the church, could not the same Lord who saved him also save me? The answer has to be yes. Look at Peter, who after living with the Lord 3 years, cursed and denied that he knew him. If the Lord would forgive him, will he not forgive me? The answer has to be yes. Look at David. If God would forgive him who was guilty of adultery and murder, would he not also be able to forgive me or you? The answer has to be yes. Lesson number 9. Roll away the stone from the door of the tomb. Martha said, Lord, he hath been dead 4 days and stinketh. There is no smell more offensive to the human being than the smell of a rotting human corpse. That reminds us of the spiritual rot of the unforgiven sinner. Paul tells us in Ephesians that Jesus made us alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we became Christians, we were spiritually dead. I'm not overdrawing the picture when I say, as unforgiven sinners, that the spiritual rot of sinners in that condition is offensive to God. You may be the best-dressed person in town. You may be wearing the most expensive perfume. You may be the last word in impeccable sophistication. You may be Mr. America or Miss America. But outside of Christ, you exude a foul odor in the nostrils of God. I'm too polite to say it, and I won't say it, but I will let Martha say it for me. She said in regards to her brother who had been dead 4 days, he stinks. If you are still dead in trespasses and sins, before God, you stink. We have often noted that the Lord will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. In John chapter 2, he told the servants to fill the water pots with water before he turned the water into wine. Here he tells them to roll away the stone before he raised the dead. Then when they did it all they could do in both cases, he stepped in and worked the miracle. In times of sickness, we need to do all we can do first before we depend on God to do anything. Go ahead and take the shots. Drink the goop. Get the CAT scan. Get the operation. Get the x-rays. Do all you can first. Then the Lord will do the rest as it pleases him. What a blessing this is. The Lord uses us to do his work. That man who rolled away the stones probably bragged about this for the rest of his life. Every time he was around Christians, he no doubt reminded them that he was the one who rolled away the stone when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He would say, I did it, I did it, I did it, I helped the Lord do that. What a thrill it must have been to be used by the Lord for so great a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not far behind. Does he not use us today to work the miracle of salvation? We must do our part first. What can I do to bring on the miracle of salvation and help Jesus save the world? I can build a building. I can sing a song. I can preach a sermon. I can teach a class. I can give a dollar. I can knock on a door. I can make a phone call. I can pray a prayer. I can do lots of things to help Jesus save the world. If I can do it, by the grace of God, I will do it. Lesson number 10. When Lazarus is raised from the dead, he came forth wearing grave clothes. A man can't live like that. When people walk around dressed in a shroud, a living person is an unusual sight, dressed as he were for his funeral. Loose him and let him go. And they did. Paul tells us in Colossians that if we are raised with Christ, to seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When were we raised? He tells us in the previous chapter, in verse 12, buried with him by baptism, wherein we are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. There's nothing wrong with saying you were saved through the work of baptism. Baptism is a work. It is the work of God. God works out our salvation when we obey his commands. If we have been raised with Christ, let us shed the grave clothes, loose him, and let him go. Many are walking around in their grave clothes. They were drunkards before accepting Christ, and it seems they have made no change after saying they became a Christian. Loose him and let him go. Many find the parts of the shroud cling to them. We need to assist the new Christian, in any way we can to rid him of the garments of death, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, as Jude said. Loose him and let him go. Lesson number 11. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What a voice Jesus must have had. John in Revelation describes it as the voice of a trumpet, a loud voice. No need for amplification, no need for a transmitter. His voice was not only heard by those who were close to the tomb, but heard in the spirit world. Lazarus, come forth. It has been pointed out that if he had merely said, come forth, all the dead would have come out of the grave. It's a good thought, but not necessarily so. There were many men named Lazarus, and only one came back. The Lazarus in Luke 16 did not return, nor did any of the others. Jesus did not even say, Lazarus of Bethany. Just Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus knew. He was the one Jesus was talking to, and he came forth. Paul tells us when the Lord returns, he will descend from heaven with a shout and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they who remain alive will with them be caught up to meet the Lord in the air in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think of that. Think of that shout. He shouted with a loud voice when he raised Lazarus, and he will shout with a loud voice when he raises the Christian on the day of the resurrection. He shouted the name of Lazarus with a loud voice. Will it not be true as well for us? He will shout our name with a loud voice. He will shout at the resurrection, my name, Ed, come forth. Lazarus was glad to come back, not because of his lifestyle, not because he was popular in this world, as revealed by the size of those who came to his funeral. He was glad to come back to this world because he would be again in the presence of the Lord. For Lazarus, to be absent from paradise for him was to be present with the Lord. For us, it is true the other way around. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Better for Lazarus to come back, better for us to go. To depart and be with Christ is very far better. I know not the form of my mansion so fair, I know not the crown that I there then shall wear, but I know that my Savior will welcome me there, and that will be glory for me. Lessons from Lazarus. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.